You were right, my dear. I've had my time, and it's over now.
I don't think I said that.
There is an elephant in the room, David, and he's whispering, retire. Run, David. Go to Jocelyn and tell her to cancel the evening.
Okay. Well, I won't be doing that.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series, and we're going through the entire series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you ready to clear out asbestos from...
the town?
Question mark? Just the town in general.
Whole
okay.
Town, I guess.
That was one of my questions, is where are they specifically? I'm assuming the school, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they ever quite specify.
No, I assume it's just a town built on asbestos.
I guess so.
All right. Okay. So we're talking about the third episode of season four, Asbestos Fest. Oh my God.
Try that again.
Asbestos Fest, mm-hmm. Or Asbestos. I've heard people say it that way.
Yeah.
Fest. The original air date of this episode was January 23rd of 2018. It's the second of six episodes this season, directed by Bruce McCulloch. He's the guy from Kids in the Hall that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And new name, and I believe, and... I don't know if you remember, but maybe our listeners know. This might be our first female credit at the top. Mm-hmm. Writer, director credit, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Monica Heisey. Mm-hmm. Now, she was a story editor all the way through seasons 3 and 4. But this is her one and only writing credit on the show. Like the first and only season, or sorry, episode that she wrote.
Okay.
So she wrote on the series Bajillionaires. She also wrote for Working Moms. All of this stuff is after mm-hmm. Schitt's Creek. And she writes a whole lot of episodes and or sketches of the Baroness Von Sketch Show, something we've talked about quite a bit. And I also noticed that it appears that she does a whole lot of writing for Canadian award shows. I know people write those. I know people write
right,
the
like the script,
jokes,
the speaking,
and,
yeah, whatever that's called.
Right. Yes. Right. I never give much thought to that, but I know people do it. And a lot of her stuff is a lot of her credits are Canadian award shows. So very cool.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, this is very rare where we get kind of a one and done mm-hmm. for somebody, but, she'll continue as story editor for the entire series, so she'll be around for a bit, but I think this might be the only time we mention her. All right, so let's get into it.
Yeah.
We are opening at the town hall building / Jazzagals rehearsal space. / I think that's it.
Future wedding venue.
Future wedding. Well, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. Right. So we're opening there with posters.
Oh, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes, of a young Moira Rose.
Yes. I really wanted to try and find out, and I did, but not that hard, let's say, where this picture was from.
Way to put it all.
Yes.
Into what you're doing.
Yeah, my entirety into this podcast. Yeah. I really was wondering where this was from. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like some publicity photo, but it could have been back from, like, stage days mm-hmm. or something like that.
Right.
But it is an evening with TV's Moira Rose.
Oh, yes. Versus television's Moira Rose.
Well, that she has a problem with that. Right. TV's doesn't sound right to her. Television's Moira Rose. It's a mouthful either way.
Right.
So she and I guess Jocelyn set this whole thing up.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, because okay. She said normally her sister helps her, but her husband has gout.
Okay.
So she's not able to jump in and help. I think Jocelyn is coordinating as the mayor's wife. I think she's coordinating this whole event.
I don't understand how that is the responsibility of the mayor's wife.
I'm sure she volunteered.
Okay.
I don't think anybody said to her, you have to do this.
You have to do this.
I think she volunteered.
As teacher and mayor's wife, this is another one of your responsibilities.
No, I'm sure she volunteered. It's right. A town event to support where she lives. I'm sure she was all in. And I'm sure it's like a yearly thing, right? So
right.
She obviously has worked on this before.
Yes. So she's setting this up. She is now also pregnant. I think we're starting to see the unraveling of her.
She definitely is more frustrated with things in this episode than we necessarily, I feel like, see it before.
Right.
You know, like
no, this is, yeah, now that the cat's out of the bag about the pregnancy, I think they, I don't want to say really lean into her, just, we see certain episodes where she's starting to kind of lose it. Like, everything's getting to her, and she's got a lot of responsibilities. I don't want to get, again, too far ahead, but we see more and more of that as, I think, this season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Moira Rose, wow. Moira's talking about Eva Longoria.
Yes.
And a ventriloquist act for rhinoplasty, benefit rhino. Oh, man. Already, I'm not a paragraph into my notes, and I'm tripping all over myself here. So we also get the sense that Moira's not... I don't want to say not excited about this, because that comes out later, but she's really second-guessing what she's doing.
Oh, definitely. But this is like a big event, like fundraising kind of event, and we know fundraising events are her thing.
Organizing them
right,
is her thing.
I guess, yeah.
Maybe not being the headliner, star of the show.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, she did not play a role in any of the organization of this.
Yeah.
And we know that she's, you know, when they needed to have a birthday party for her, they got her there because it was a big fundraiser.
Right, exactly.
Right, for the kids with the cleft palates.
Yep. Those kids. Yeah, it is funny that she didn't just volunteer and be like, you know what, I'm going to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Jocelyn, how does that sound?
Yeah.
And she could be like an MC or something. Yeah. And she brings up the children's choir or whatever and introduces everything. And maybe that's more her speed now.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, maybe Jocelyn requested that she perform, seeing as how it appears to be a musical event.
Oh, it really is something. I'm still not sure what is really happening.
I don't know.
With this thing. But I love, and I wrote down some of the songs that she is considering.
Yes.
For this. Mm-hmm. Shoes, Glorious Shoes.
Right, from the Imelda Marcos story, I feel like it.
Exactly. Yeah. Two Heads Are Better Than One.
Mm-hmm.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, she talked about One Crazy Summer and Patty Hearst.
Yep.
And,
well, it is One Crazy Summer : the Patty Hearst story.
Right.
And that's the one that she finally decides to go with, even though Jocelyn's like, I don't care. Please just pick something.
Right, yeah.
So now, let's go to... Sorry. Because we're still with Moira, because this was before opening credits, everything like that. So we're still with Moira now, practicing, rehearsing.
Yeah, she's at the motel. She appears to be in David and Alexis's room.
She is.
Instead of her own.
And I don't know if she just thinks maybe Johnny's hanging out. Why would he be hanging out there? He's probably working the desk. Anyway, maybe she needs a bigger space to practice.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
But now this is where we see her in, and I know I mentioned memes a lot and still images. Her in that big white button-down shirt that she's wearing with her arms.
Yeah, looking mime-like almost. Yes,
very much so.
Yeah.
But that's where this comes from. And, David,
yeah, she's rehearsing her act.
Right, yeah, she's rehearsing her act, and David comes in and sort of has issues with what's happening here.
Right.
They argue a little bit about this. this is where, again, it's sort of revealed that she's not too
all
excited.
In. Yes. All into this. Right. Yes. This event. Right.
But they can't argue too much because he has to get to work.
Right. Yeah. But they talk about, you know, she wants to do the Patty Hearst story, which apparently she has participated in the past, but she didn't even play Patty, I think he says to her. And about her being not good with choreography.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we kind of see a little mimey glimpse of that.
Right. Yes. She never played Patty Hearst.
Right.
It's also a play or even just this song where there are many people involved. Mm-hmm. And for this, it's just her. He's very concerned that this isn't going to make any sense whatsoever. And I think sort of feeds her fears that this might be a bad idea.
Yeah. I have to admit, mm-hmm. I don't even know who Patty Hearst is. Oh, not a clue.
Okay. So Patty Hearst was sort of kidnapped by a rebel group. And mm-hmm. then she was... All right. This doesn't need to be the Patty Hearst podcast here. But they kind of... The whole thing is they sort of, quote-unquote, brainwashed her. Okay. Or perhaps it was Stockholm Syndrome. Or perhaps she was kind of excited about what they were doing in the first place. And they went in and she had a gun. And her family was very, very wealthy and stuff. So mm-hmm. first they tried to get money from her parents. We don't need to rehash the whole thing. Okay. But anyway, she was
a well-to-do kidnapped victim. You could have just
said
that.
That the best way to summarize.
So they created a musical number about her, a musical story.
That's what makes it so ridiculous.
About
yes.
her kidnapping. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there were several movies made, so why not a musical?
Why not a musical, I guess. Right. And why Moira Rose? Would you choose that of all choices?
Yeah, good question.
I maybe would rather choose Gloria's Shoes. I'm not sure.
You could...
They both sound pretty terrible.
They both sound terrible, and I doubt you need to get your hands on a hunting rifle or machine gun for Shoes, Gloria's Shoes. I'm sure they just have shoes lying around town that you can get your hands on.
Right.
So David has to go to work, and this is where we're introduced to, I guess, the B storyline mm-hmm. of this episode.
Yes.
Where we see a group of kids.
Yeah, teenagers.
Just hanging out.
Jocelyn just, students, shall we say. Do you think they're high schoolers?
Yeah, good question. They seem a little bit older.
You think?
Yeah. But, I mean...
It's hard to tell.
You know what? Everyone was a teenager at some point, so I'm sure that, they were Jocelyn's
at one point they might have been.
Students, right. Yes. But they're hanging
they're
out...
They're loitering. They are loitering outside.
I mean, that's pretty severe
loiter.
I mean, they're sitting on the steps to get into the store. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally have to move out of the way so David can get into
right.
his place of business. He goes in, and Patrick has a problem with these kids there. And we don't sort of understand why David doesn't at mm-hmm. first. Because at first I was just like, well, why... Why didn't Patrick tell them off? Because
right.
he's very insistent that David should let these kids know to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are scaring away customers or deterring people, you know, the one person each day that comes in to get something
right.
from coming into their store. And David, I like how David said that he vibes with the younger crowd.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Alexis is there also.
Yes.
Yeah, we forgot. You
Sorry.
Didn't mention that. The fact that when he walks in, Alexis is there. Because Patrick's helping her with a school assignment.
Yeah.
Like a college course assignment,
right.
presumably. Because she's already graduated. And we know that she was getting all ready to do her
of course.
Online education at Elmdale.
Yeah.
I
think that's really nice. Because mm-hmm. she is... do we already know what she is in school studying?
I don't think it's really established, but
okay.
obviously she's taking some kind of like business
businessy
oriented
classes.
Course.
Yes.
Right.
And I think
businessy.
It's really I think it is first of all really great that she can turn to Patrick and knows that she can go to Patrick. I also mm-hmm. think it's wonderful how and I think we talked about this earlier how clearly now it's been established that Patrick is probably opening this store in the morning.
Oh.
David
right.
is not good
well,
in the morning, as he said
before. Told him
before.
Yeah,
right.
He isn't available till
yes.
like 11.
I also think it's telling and sort of fun that she clearly does not go to her father with these questions, even though he is a famous businessman.
Right, yeah.
But she's learned that it's probably better to go to Patrick.
Well, right, for stuff like this. No, definitely. That's the whole paper that she wrote that he rewrote, and she made mention of not even wanting to share the fact that she was looking into college courses with him. Exactly. So, yeah, definitely.
So before we get too far into this, or before we actually switch out of here, because right now these teens are just grumbling and not really talking or saying mm-hmm. anything that
they're just buying gum and complimenting David's outfit.
Well, yes, but they have lines later, which is what I'm sort of mm-hmm. leading up to. So let's just talk about these teens now. There are four of them.
Yes.
I wrote down lines that three of them have. Mm-hmm. The fourth, I'm not sure. Maybe I just missed it. Okay. But the kid later on, who is the first one trying to leave the store after they're caught, let's mm-hmm. say, or before they're caught. Mm-hmm. He is played by Andre Day Kim. Mm-hmm. And he's been in a lot of TV shows, such as Degrassi, mm-hmm. The Next Generation, Degrassi, Next Class, mm-hmm. Degrassi, Minis. Like, he's
on speed dial
if they have anything new to do for that. Mm-hmm. And he's been on a few non-Degrassi shows, such as Mary Kills People, which I thought, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. American Gods. And there's a new Hardy Boys series that's on TV now.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we talked about that another time.
I think we did. I think someone else was on there.
Yes.
So he's on that as well. Teen number two mm-hmm. is the one who says, nice shoes mm-hmm. to David. And he is played by Nike Taylor. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, Mike Taylor.
Oh.
Nike.
Yeah,
maybe I was thinking shoes, and for some reason, instead of saying Nike, maybe. I said Nike, as I think my dad says.
Oh, okay.
he's been on shows like Killjoys, Pure, and something called Cardinal. Mm-hmm. He's currently in a series called The Horror of Dolores Roach.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff we really haven't talked about.
Yeah, but some that we have. But
right.
Yeah.
And the third teen is played by Sean Patrick Dolan, mm-hmm. who says, do you have this in a larger size later? When they're talking about hoodies. They sell hoodies mm-hmm. at this place?
They sell everything.
Okay, all right.
It's an apothecary.
Wait, you...
It runs the gamut
say
of...
You say apothecary as though
right.
that's what it means.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah.
He has been in shows called The Good Witch, Working Moms, mm-hmm. and also in The Hardy Boys.
Oh.
And then teen four is Arash Bhagari, and this is his only IMDb credit. Okay. And I did not pick up on a line that he spoke. But I think he must have said something if they're giving him credit in this mm-hmm. episode. But I do want to say later, in the audience, we see, what's his name? Stevie's old babysitting client.
Eric?
Client, yes.
Charge.
That's the proper term. We see him in the audience. He doesn't say anything, but he is credited in this episode. Also, some guy, and I didn't write him down, is just audience member who also doesn't have a line, but credited for some reason. So maybe this kid doesn't say anything.
Okay.
All right. Wow. It's a lot of people. So let's go back.
Are they all credited? I always love to hear.
Sure.
Are they credited as... Like teen one, teen two.
Teen
okay.
two, teen
okay.
three, teen
I was
four.
Just,
yes.
I'm always curious how they credit these people.
Yeah, they don't give them
sometimes it's
proper
funny,
names.
You know.
Right.
It's always interesting.
Were you hoping it said Jocelyn, former student one, Jocelyn, former student two?
No, I don't know what I was hoping for. I was just curious
right.
how they credited them.
So let's go back to the motel, but now we're in the lobby/check-in mm-hmm. area.
Yes. The office.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have such a problem referring to it as the office.
I don't know. Maybe that lobby is good. I think a lobby is like a hotel.
Right, yes.
Like, I would not think of like a motel as like as much a lobby. A check-in area, sure, in both. But
and it's so weird that I don't think of it as an office.
It's labeled.
It's labeled, right, yeah.
And they refer to it as an
right.
office.
Right, yeah. So this is my fault, not the show's fault. Nothing's the show's fault. Everything's mine. So Roland is there, and he's saying that Johnny should get him some flowers. Like, he's not opposed to receiving flowers mm-hmm. for saving his bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is sort of leading to the,
another story.
Yeah, he's not doing a great job of sort of hiding the fact that it is he.
Right.
Who is in need of some work.
Right. He talks about a friend that needs work and, he's a nice guy to have around. He has great skills.
Right. Yes.
I'm being the middleman to kind of make this happen.
Yeah, because very soon after this brief discussion, Stevie comes in and is basically like, Roland's been like creeping around, like hanging right. out around the motel, doing little things here and there. I don't know if he's changing a light bulb or something.
Yeah.
And just sort of, I guess, walking around with her, seeing if there's just things that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Or probably not. I mean, knowing Roland, he's probably not doing anything for free. But just sort of like hinting at, hey, if you need help, I may happen to know a guy
right.
who knows a guy or right. whatever. Johnny's not into this at all. Johnny thinks he and Stevie have it all taken care of.
Right. But Stevie is not feeling the same way.
Because Stevie's the one doing all the work.
Of course.
Yeah, she right. brings up the fact that, you know what? I could use some help. That would be great.
Right. Like, they're off. He's making all these things. Like, oh, we offer to help everybody with their bags. And she's like, I'm helping with
yeah,
the bags.
Yeah, I'm doing everything. Know? Who knows how many toilets Stevie's installing and right. fixing yeah. and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's really like, we should sort of follow through with this guy that Roland has in mind, because we could use a little help. And And again, this motel is now turning some sort of profit. Mm-hmm. So they have the income right. to, I guess, be able to bring somebody in to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go back to Rose Apothecary.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis knows exactly what's going on here.
Oh, totally. Because she's used the same move with her klepto friends in the Hamptons.
Right, exactly.
So she's familiar with this distract and steal, I guess.
Yeah. I do like how they are clearly klepto friends in the Hamptons. Because if you're in the Hamptons, you can afford to buy anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
So they clearly have an issue with her stealing things.
Right.
So she really lays it all out for them and right. is basically saying, well, they're stealing stuff. Here's what happens. Mm-hmm. They go in and they spread out. Whole system.
Distract them. Right.
Right.
They're buying gum and lip balm, but basically stealing other
yes.
More higher end expensive yeah. kind of products.
Do you think, and I don't want to blame these kids for something that they didn't do, do you think they had a hand in the fact that the general store went under? Do you think they were stealing so much from the general store?
Did we hear about theft at the general store? I don't think we did.
No, not at all. But I just picture these teens being like, oh no, the general store. And then being very excited when someone else
right,
moved
something
into,
new
into
came
their
in.
Location.
I don't know.
So it's a very brief discussion, but now they're all sort of hip to what's happening here.
Right. And yeah, and she said they'll be back in an hour and everything. And
because they forgot what the second...
Something for their T-zone.
Half of their... Right.
Their T-zones will be effed, she said.
Right.
Yeah, because they were taking, facial products and stuff like that.
Right.
Which, why would teenage boys take facial products?
But, I don't know.
But there's... I mean, selling it, maybe, then somewhere.
But they have to be using the product if they realize that it's not the complete product that they need.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's her assumption, but...
Yeah.
She's assuming they'll be back. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know why they would be taking, facial products.
I like how they might just be around the corner selling everything in the store at a discount price
maybe.
To people that are on their way to the store.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's why they don't have a lot of business
right.
at this
yes.
moment. Because these kids are taking everything and reselling
it. These kids have been selling things half off the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So now we go back. We actually go to Roland's house.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny heads over there to ask for, hey, listen, we could use some help. So this friend of yours, blah, blah, blah. And Roland is having so much fun with just the fact that
right.
he totally pulled one over on Johnny. It's not a friend of his. It's totally me. And Johnny's like, yeah, I kind of got
right.
that. The moment you open your mouth, we know what a terrible liar Roland is, of course.
Yeah.
And this is just another example of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised it got this far where Johnny didn't just show up and be like, so Roland, yeah, we could use your help.
Right, yeah.
And another thing I meant to do research on but didn't. I should, like, cut that out anytime I'm saying that because it really sounds lazy. Mm-hmm. What does a small town mayor get paid?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, she is a school teacher.
Right.
So, you know, they're not... It doesn't appear based on their house and their single truck. I don't know, maybe Jocelyn has a car. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look to me as though they're living beyond their means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would agree.
I understand a kid is on the way and he brings that up in this right. discussion, but they've kind of been without a kid for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what he's getting paid to wear. This part-time handyman gig at a motel is the thing that's going to put them over the top.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I know
it's a TV.
It's a TV show. I understand this. Yeah. But it really got me thinking, like, how much does he get paid?
I mean, it's a small town. I can't imagine, right. like, the teacher salary there is a lot.
Sure.
You know, and I don't know what a small town mayor would get paid.
No. But I guess... I'm assuming you're not getting paid for town council. That sounds like a... voluntary position. Yeah. I know that there's,
I don't know the ins and outs of mayoral duties.
Okay.
Payments. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody let us know.
If you're a
small town mayor or related to one.
That's a reach, but okay.
No. Are you saying that a mayor might not listen to this show?
I am. Okay. I'm totally putting that out there.
All right. That's a bold statement. Yeah. Okay, so, yes, he really does say, like, listen, we need help. There's a kid on the way. So I am more than happy to come in and to lend my services. Oof. These early morning recordings might not be working for me.
Today, anyway.
So now let's go back to the motel because we watch Moira... She's doing her own little dress rehearsal, let's call it.
She has, like, her cute little beret on, her sequined pants. Yeah, she's all set.
Yes.
Yep, and Jocelyn shows up. And this is where she brings up the idea about the hunting rifle that Gwen had in her basement.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people in this town have hunting rifles.
Bob was hunting with them in Turkey Shoot, so it's not that strange that... They would have a gun in their basement.
Oh, definitely. You know? Yeah. And, you know, Gwen's part of the Jazzy Gals, and I'm sure she offered it up right away. Right. I had this hunting rifle. Moira seems upset that it's not a machine gun.
Right.
You know, again, maybe another reason. Oh, you know what? It's not a machine gun. I'm not sure I can do this.
Yeah.
Because at this point, Moira's totally trying to back out of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah, and she's talking about wanting to step out of the limelight and be able to put the focus on others. Yes. Like the children's choir.
Yeah, right. Jocelyn does give her a little pep talk, like the best she can do in her current state. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a few months back or perhaps a season ago, she would have made a more impassioned pep talk.
Right.
But it's more like, we got to do this. Like, I got to move on here.
Yeah.
It's one night. Your face is all over these posters. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm. They already changed the posters to say televisions,
exactly.
too.
Yes.
So that means they reprinted all those posters, I guess, unless they scratched it out. And
scratched it? Just put some electrical tape over it?
Just, like, rewrote television in marker. Yeah.
I really like this, and I don't know that this is... I don't know if I'm looking too deeply into this, because I don't think this is an episode that... a lot of people prop up as being all that important or all that memorable, let's say. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that Moira is willing to say to anyone outside of Johnny that she's afraid of mm-hmm. this, I think is such a big deal.
Yeah, it's a lot of growth for her.
Yeah, and it's not... I've never really heard people talk about this. They talk about the Herb Ertlinger wine mm-hmm. thing as being a huge... Like, where she realizes she's not the person that she used to be,
right.
and she's not sure if she can still do this. Nobody ever seems to bring this up, but mm-hmm. I think because it's so minor and it doesn't seem to be played up
mm-hmm.
in this particular episode. So it's a minor growth moment, but it's a growth moment nonetheless.
Right.
So now let's go back
There's a couple other things here. I also just made note of, as Roland was talking, she talked about she and Jocelyn's 27 years... of wedded bliss.
Okay.
Which I thought, that gives us a age on Mutt.
Oh, okay.
Basically, right? Because she was pregnant when they got married.
Oh, you're right.
I believe there was
okay.
reference to that. So yeah. if they've been married for 27 years, that gives us an age range or an age on Mutt.
Okay.
Which I just made note of that. I don't know, because I know that I feel like we're constantly talking about how old are the kids, and I don't remember if we had like an actual, you know, pinpoint on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was interesting. And also, when she's doing her little 5, 6, 7, 8, like we can't leave that out. Like, 9, 10, 11, 12, right. like trying to gear herself up. Like that is. You know,
no,
one of my favorite things. And that also happens in this scene. Like Jocelyn leaves, I guess, right? And she's
right.
really trying to prepare herself to be able to, yes. to go and perform.
Yeah.
And yeah. And as she's, you know, counting off her start, she's unraveling.
And the thing is that I really didn't notice when we were watching this, but this is her entire day. I mean, she is trapped in that motel practicing this all day long, really trying to figure out what she's going to do. Because now we are back to David's store. And they really do confront these kids. Because the kids do come in.
They're back. They're just looking when they say, can we help you with something? And then that they're kind of on to them. You see them even start, like David or Patrick kind of walks to like sort of move a little bit closer. Use a little proximity to get closer to some of the kids as they're
And they're doing exactly what Alexis said they were going to do, like beat for beat. And I was thinking about the fact that perhaps the way this got started is like one of these kids walked in one day and was like, we should go there. The owners are just making out in the back the whole time. Like nobody's out watching anything that's going on.
Right. Yeah.
So I do like how Alexis like totally stops this kid on his way out and grabs, like basically steals whatever he stole back from him.
Uh-huh.
And how the one kid goes, I told you she was way too cool to work here. I thought that was fantastic.
Right. Return all the product and everything.
And her response to that is, I am. Also, I don't work here.
Right. And then at the end, she kind of flips her hair. Yep. into their face. And Patrick's like, why did I get a hair flip? Basically.
Yeah, it's really nice. They kind of just drive these kids off. And David, of course, is offended that, like, is he offended or sort of bolstered by the fact that were their compliments genuine? I kind of forget how that all plays out in the end.
I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. I can't remember if he was... If they were like, no, this was all just for the thing. Or if they were like, no, you really are pretty cool.
No, I don't. No. I don't think there were. Yeah. Right, no, okay. I kind of think I think it was all for.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now let's go back to the office.
Oh, nice work.
Yep. It won't happen next episode. I'll forget again. But this is where we find out, because now they're negotiating with Roland.
Mm-hmm.
Like Roland is now part of this team.
Right.
And they're talking about the things that need to be done and the things that he should do, because Johnny appears to be making a list and putting initials after the things that need to be done.
Right.
I really do have to say, and not that I would ever blame Stevie for how the motel was not doing well before Johnny showed up. But just the way Johnny dresses and presents himself, he should work that desk. Like, I almost feel like he should be
the face of the motel.
Of the
motel.
Is that what
you're saying?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Again, no offense to Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
She may be my favorite character of the entire series, but I think it's really great because every time they mention something like, oh, I'll just put an R next to this, Roland's like, that's not really... in my wheelhouse. Like, that's not a thing. I'm just waiting for, you know, you to get to the things that I can really do.
Right.
Because
they're talking about window repairs, cleaning the bathrooms, changing the sheets. They're like, all these things. And he's like, no.
Yeah, no, that's not like, for me. Yeah. And I'm like, what is...
I'm waiting for something that caters to my expertise, basically.
Like, what does he think?
Yeah.
Happens at
well,
this
right.
motel.
Yeah, and Johnny said, well, maybe we made a mistake. Like, maybe
right,
we shouldn't really do this.
It's really nice reverse psychology from Johnny.
Right.
Because Roland, of course, falls for it.
Yeah.
But Roland does mention, this is where he really mentions why he needs the money.
That he needs the money for the baby.
Yeah, I mentioned it a little earlier. I do love how he says Jocelyn had to sell her Beanie Baby collection and has to work nights at the gas station.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, oh no, really? Well, no, not the gas station part of this. Yeah. But she will if things really get too bad. Right,
yeah. Yeah, so they start to put some initials next to the different tasks, and Roland's like, does that R stand for Rose, as in Johnny Rose? Right,
yeah. It's really great, and now this is a... I mentioned how maybe this episode isn't as important or well-regarded as some of the other ones, but this is big now that Roland is part of this.
their little crew.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Roland as a, you know, secondary slash tertiary character. And I'm not saying he's one of the main characters now, but there's now a reason for him to be hanging around. We don't have to go to town council to see him. Or we don't have to have...
run into him at the cafe.
Right. Johnny doesn't have to walk to his house for some reason.
Right.
To really have him introduced in here, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. So, David comes home.
Yes.
From, I guess, a successful day of confiscating stolen goods from teens.
I guess so, yeah.
And he finds that Moira is face down on his bed.
Yeah.
And she's an absolute mess.
Yeah, exhausted. She's had her time and it's over.
Right.
Yeah. There's an elephant in the room whispering that it's over.
Yes, it is. And David's reaction to this, I found very funny. And it's something I never noticed before. When she says there's an elephant in the room, David looks around the room. And I'm like, what? What is he doing? But it's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And she realizes that she can't do it. This Patty Hearst thing was a bad idea from the start.
Oh, yeah. It took her this long to figure that out.
And he tried to warn her, of course.
Right.
But he decides to come to her rescue here.
Oh, yes.
And says, let's do the number.
What if we did the number?
The number.
Yeah.
This is...
famous.
Crazy. Just the fact that later on...
we see the number.
Members of the family are like, oh my God, it's the number. I'm like, how famous is this?
Well,
like,
we get a little glimpse later on.
Oh, no, I know. Yes, yeah. But I found it very funny that this is the, like, the go-to, like, we don't have, not that we don't have any other idea, but it's like, we've been doing this so much, we don't need to rehearse.
Right.
We know every beat, every step, every movement of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how David's like, I'll go plug in my hair straightener.
Right. So, let's go to this big event.
I'm not saying the word because I know I will. You're having
the
trouble
asbestos
talking.
Fest?
Asbestos. That's so, yeah. That's, Asbestos fest.
Yeah. They could probably make some sort of tongue twister out of that. You just add another bunch of ST
I know they have,
words.
Yeah. I know they have so much, like, Schitt's Creek merch out there, and people love to make things, and I'm sure it exists, because I'm sure people will jump on and say, well, you can get this here, and you can get this here. Like, why aren't there, like, Asbestos Fest bumper stickers
and
stuff? There's got to be somewhere.
They would be fantastic.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not something I see frequently.
Yeah.
You know, compared to, like, many, obviously, like, Rose Apothecary shirts you know, there's so many things, but that's one that I feel like I haven't seen as much.
Do it, people. Somebody out there, do it. Make a t-shirt.
I'm sure people already have. It just maybe isn't as popular.
Maybe, but I told you I couldn't find it. You find that picture of Catherine O'Hara, you put it on there with Asbestos Fest 2018 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Put it on there. That would be a fantastic. You said bumper sticker. I'm going to say shirt that people might be embarrassed to wear out in public.
Nobody's embarrassed to wear their Schitt's Creek
I saw gear. Online that someone had been in the grocery store and they saw somebody with the Rose Apothecary shirt on and they said to them, they were like, Schitt's Creek, blah, blah, blah. The person had no idea what they were talking about. And they were like, no, your shirt. And the person said, I just got it because I like roses. And I found that to be one of the funniest, like, weird interactions with somebody that you would just get that and
And not know where it was from.
Yeah, or just assume it's a real store that exists somewhere.
Right. Oh, gosh.
So that's I like that a lot. I don't know how many Asbestos fans would just get a shirt like that.
Yeah.
Because they like the harmful product.
I know, right?
The harmful building material. So We don't hear the children's choir.
Oh, but I wish I could have heard their Kylie Minogue medley. Like the Locomotion and...
I don't know enough Kylie Minogue.
I think she sang that Can't Get You Out of My Head song, I believe. I think that's her.
Why not?
Yeah.
But was she the one
who... She's Australian.
Yes.
Yes.
Was she the one who was a soap opera star? Or am I thinking of Natalie Imbruglia?
No, I do think that Kylie Minogue may have been a soap opera star. And I think... She is Australian, right? She's not Canadian?
I think she's Australian.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too. But then I was like, maybe I'm confusing her with someone else. I thought that was an interesting choice that they wouldn't have chosen a Canadian singer.
But it's
why I'm wondering if I'm wrong.
It's funnier when it's Kylie Minogue.
Okay.
I mean, rather than what? Celine Dion? The Celine Dion medley?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, Australian listeners, let us know. Who's better, Kylie Minogue or Natalie Imbruglia?
I don't know much about Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah, she just sang that Torn song.
Okay.
That's the only thing I know. Anyway, great. So now we're introduced to this number.
Oh, it's the main event.
It's been building to this whole time. I feel
like they waited to the end, right? Yes. Are they like closing out the Asbestos Fest,
it seems? Oh, they're closing this program, this night of asbestos awareness or fundraising. So I understand there's a lot of pressure because there's at least 25 people in this audience.
Right.
Most of whom are characters that they know, characters they know, people they know and are familiar with.
Yeah.
So David's wearing a big jacket with a giant scarf on.
Oh, his hair's like all like slicked
straight,
almost?
Down.
He looks very like 50s. He gives off a very 50s like greaser hair kind of vibe.
Okay.
A little bit to me.
All right. Okay. I was going to say like 80s, like
postmodern. Yeah.
Okay. It's something. It's a look. Let's just say that.
Yes, agreed. It's, yeah, maybe 80s is, it's not quite 50s, but it looks very, like, gelled.
Oh, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But gel definitely could be 80s as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
So, the thing that they're doing, first of all, it's holiday themed.
Oh, it's their Christmas party act from their Christmas parties they used to have.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it starts out like, oh, it's so cold in here and everything. And he has to, he takes off his scarf. But it's like a regular, like, Sonny and Cher hour thing. Because Moira comes out.
Oh, it's super cheesy.
They play off of each other. Yep. Like, it's almost like this was just part of a variety show, but there's nothing else happening here.
Yeah, no. And it seems very, like, ad-libbed, but it's not.
Oh,
you know,
no, it's
like Moira's scat singing almost.
Yep, of course. Yeah. And they sing, maybe this was just a night of medleys because they start to sing a Christmas song medley. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say thankfully it cuts because I think I could have watched this whole thing.
Fascinating. No, I could have. Right.
But I just like how it does cut like into their second or third song that they transition into. Mm-hmm. So you can only imagine how long this goes on for.
Yeah.
But before that, this is where we get some reactions from the audience. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite, because we see Bob and I guess
Eric. Bob and Eric are sitting together. Gwen doesn't seem to have attended. We didn't see her.
Listen, she said, I gave him my hunting rifle. I don't need to be there for this.
Right.
My favorite is Ronnie's expression. Ronnie already has big eyes, but her eyes are huge, and she doesn't even have any way to sort of process what she's seeing right here. And I think it's fantastic, because right after that, it does cut to black.
Yeah. Well, they also mentioned, too, they were raising funds to buy, I think I was writing quickly and not writing obviously accurately. I think I made a mistake. I have raising funds, too, and then I have B, asbestos tree.
I'm going to say be asbestos free.
Oh, that is enough.
Okay.
But then I was thinking.
All right. <Yeah. laughs>
Okay. That makes more sense. I was thinking Christmas. Like, were they buying an asbestos tree for the town to decorate? I'm like, wait, what did
They're like, we've removed all the asbestos from the town, and now we're going to put up a tree. Into a giant tree that isn't dangerous.
Look, can you confirm That does not look like I wrote an F. It totally looks like a T.
That looks like a T.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why I was like, I don't understand what I was trying to write there.
Wow. I do appreciate the fact that this may be the first time that you've run into an issue with reading your writing, which I have to type because I wouldn't be able to read anything that I write after the fact. So, well, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, that's...
an asbestos tree. Don't forget, we're getting close to October. Make sure you get ready to decorate your asbestos tree for the holidays.
Yeah, if you want to make a shirt that makes no sense to right. other than to you and the handful of people listening or us, it could be
Schitt's
Creek asbestos tree shirt. You could make that if you want to.
Make that and send it to us.
Yes, right. And yeah. that's how the episode ends.
It's the end of this episode.
Wow, this is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the greatest episode we've ever seen, the best episode of the series, to possibly the least best episode of the series.
Right.
If you are, I was about to say, if you're listening to this podcast, well, then you're listening to it.
Because you're listening.
If you want to see our top 10, our top 10 is in the show notes.
Nobody wants to see our top 10.
No, but it's not even as though you would care what we think, but if you want to argue with us or tell us that we're wrong or even agree with us, that's great. But that's right. where you would get our top 10, right in the show notes there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carla, if this episode were a product in David's store...
An asbestos tree?
No!
If it was an asbestos tree, would you decorate it or cut it down?
You know what? Let's go with that one. Would you hang
ornaments
on it?
No, I want to hear yours.
No, mine was simply if it's a product in David's
store...
Would
I steal it or let it on the rack?
Yeah, would you steal it or move on to, like, face cream or something like that?
Yeah.
So I will, as usual, share your list...
Well, I have to say...
Sure, yeah.
This is not one of my more favorite episodes.
Okay.
And I think the fact that our conversation kind of just, like, got right to the episode and we talked through it and there wasn't a lot of extra
discussion. I will scroll to the bottom half of your list.
Well,
then,
I don't know. I don't know. It just... I liked the... I always love a good David Alexis, you know, and the Patrick moment at the store I really liked. I loved their performance at the mm-hmm. end. That's so much fun. But I wasn't super into, like, the Roland joining the motel, although we talked about how important that is. That really, you know, becomes something that's important. And Moira's... I don't like to watch a Moira unravel, and I think I've said that before. Like, I like when Moira's, like, in her glory and watching
that.
Her
yeah.
unravel always kind of, like...
Although we love the rose wine. Why can't I think of the
wine and roses?
Wine and roses episode.
Yeah. So I'm gonna take this one. I'm gonna put it down as my new number 30.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's definitely, as with every episode, no matter what, even if it's not a favorite, there are always things that I can pick out that I love.
Right.
but yeah, I don't know. There just wasn't enough in this one for me to really make it, you know, a favorite that I would come back to and rewatch.
And speaking of things we can't say, I like how you put this here. So I have to say it's right above The Candidate.
Oh, geez. So, yeah.
I am right there with you. Mine is going to be number. Oh, my God. We're right next to each other. Mine is 31.
Oh, OK.
Yes. And also, I have one more episode in my list than you do, so we probably are right at 30.
Right.
I still have not figured out how we are one off with our things.
It's all good.
And, well, the further we get, the tougher it is for me to figure this out.
Course.
So I need to solve this problem.
Like, what is missing? You must have typed yours in one time and not typed mine in, I guess. And
or I just have
I think it
thing
will just forever
twice.
Be forgotten.
An uneven list.
I think so.
Great. That's how we'll close the podcast in the end. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I found myself not really smiling or laughing at a lot of what was happening in here.
Yeah.
I don't find the thievery of their store all that interesting and fun a plot line.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is I hate to say a filler episode because every show has filler episodes and sometimes they're good. And I'm not saying this is bad or without any sort of interest whatsoever. But this is just one that is a lesser episode, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for all the nice things you say, all the reviews, any sort of interaction you guys give us. We certainly appreciate it. Please, if you know someone who watches the show and doesn't know that our podcast exists and you think they might like it, let them know. That's how we get new listeners. But next time we talk to you, 2 weeks from today, it will be October then.
Yeah.
And why I'm saying that,
asbestos,
it's not like...
Asbestos tree shopping is in full force. Yes. Your asbestos tree decorations.
Yeah, the asbestos holiday.
Get them early.
Of
I heard the holiday shopping rush might be difficult this year with shipping.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
But we will be discussing the fourth episode of season four, Girls' Night. So until we talk to you guys again in 2 weeks, everybody have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.
Ding. Dong.
Ding.
Dong.
Ding.
Dong.
Ding.
Dong.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me the keys to a Lamborghini.
On the
deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Yes, I said faithful, which rules out all of you.